Good morning and welcome to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Deborah Martinez, and today we're going to talk about senior hunger. Did you know within a few decades, one in four Americans will be 65 years old? That makes us seniors. New Mexico seniors fall near the bottom when it comes to having enough to eat. Part of the reason for that is the rural nature of our state and grocery stores and farmers markets not always located nearby. Since we also have high poverty, including among seniors, that too has a bearing on food insecurity. Other factors also come together. We'll discuss those today on the call-in show. Joining me in the studio are two people involved in the challenge of feeding our seniors. Lynn Anker Univer is with the New Mexico Department of Aging and Long-Term Services. Also with us is Jennifer Rocha of Roadrunner Food Bank. Jennifer is a community nutrition program manager. She runs the bank's Senior Helpings program. And welcome to both of you. Later in the hour, we'll also speak with Shirley Lopez, who volunteers with the Española Senior Center. It's run by Rio Riba County, and she sees the struggle of senior hunger every day. She's working to change that. And I also hope you will participate in this hour of talk on senior hunger. Pick up the phone or drop us a line at callinshow@kunm.org with your questions. And you can also find our phone number at the KUNM.org website. If you want to write it down, I'll give it to you now. Locally in Albuquerque, the phone number to call is 277-5866. And if you're out of town, it's 877-899-5866. And you can find all this at KUNM.org. You can also chat with us. Elaine Baumgartel, our executive producer, is taking your tweets and looking at comments on Facebook. You can get us at KUNM News on Twitter. And you can search for KUNM News on Facebook. All kinds of ways you can communicate with us. We hope you'll participate in this conversation today. And again, I'm with Lynn Anker Univer and with Jennifer Rocha. Thank you both for joining me in the studio here at this early hour.
Thank you, Deborah. Thank you for having us.
So let's start with Lynn, and I want to ask you, how did we get to this point? One in five or 21% of our seniors lacking proper nutrition?
I think there's several factors in New Mexico, and you touched on one of them when you said rural. It's not just rural. There are vast frontier areas in this state, too. And grocery stores are not available for people in a lot of these areas. So as you get older, you're less likely to want to drive long distances. And so if you have to go a couple of hours just to get your basic groceries, that is extremely difficult. Many seniors in the state also rely solely on their Social Security for their retirement. And with the economy in the state that it's in, they have less and less money to spend for food. Many seniors in the state are also raising their grandchildren. And just like the parents we hear about who will feed their children before they feed themselves, the grandparents do this as well. And then there's another interesting factor that has to do with nutrition and dental health. We do not in this state have access to free dental services like many other states do through universities and dental teaching clinics. And as seniors lose their ability to chew and have problems with their teeth, they're also just not able to eat the foods they're used to eating. And they don't really want to change to other foods or a soft diet or go out and buy a blender. They're not going to do that.
Yeah, another interesting thing. My mother is 96. She wears top dentures, and you can't taste food with that denture at the top. So, and then if you take the teeth out, of course, then again, you've got a problem there. So you say, forget it. I'm not hungry.
Right. And you just don't eat. The other thing is depression. Many of our seniors watch as their spouses, their friends pass away. They get more isolated. No one who's depressed hardly wants to eat. I mean, there are those few people, I guess, that pig out on cookies or whatever. But the vast majority of depressed people just lose their desire to eat and engage in life. And that's one of the things that our senior meal sites through our department addresses, because it's a congregate group. And so people are getting socialization, nutrition, education, as well as the actual meal.
And that's what's happening around senior centers around the state. And we're going to talk with someone who's closely involved, Shirley Lopez up in Española, in just a few minutes. But there is so much to talk about on this topic. And if you'll see on our website today, you can view a video from Roadrunner Food Bank that I almost guarantee you will bring you to tears. It's the voices of people who are also affected by hunger. And it's not just elderly, but certainly when you think about an elderly person being hungry, it's extremely sad. So, Jennifer, you are with Roadrunner Food Bank, which is a tremendous organization, 30 years old, feeding people, delivering groceries, doing so many things for New Mexicans and for those of us in Albuquerque who need the help. Tell me about what your particular bailiwick is, the Senior Helpings Program.
Okay. Obviously, Roadrunner Food Bank has several programs that are able to help these seniors get through the difficult times. The specific program that I run is called Senior Helpings, and basically that provides supplemental food to low-income seniors who are either living near or below the poverty line. And this program was really designed to meet the nutritional as well as the dietary needs of seniors. We met with a registered dietitian, came up with a box that was able to serve an individual, and it contains about 37 plus or minus pounds of food. This box is delivered monthly through organizations. So it's either through a low-income senior housing site or through one of our participating agencies. And our guidelines for that are really that the senior is over 60 and that they meet the commodity TFAP eligibility guidelines. We also ask that the agencies provide, you know, fresh produce and bread as well so that we can continue to help them eat nutritious meals. And some of the products in that box are, you know, the fruits, the vegetables, macaroni and cheese, beans, rice, really those staple items to get them through the month. And of course, again, you know, this is supplemental food. As we all know, food stamps are typically last an individual 2.3 weeks. So that's why we've created, you know, the Senior Helpings Program, mobile food pantries specifically for seniors, and different programs where seniors are able to access food for the rest of the month that the amount they're given, you know, through food stamps doesn't take them through that entire month.
We just heard about the non-passage, the rejection of the farm bill in the U.S. House last week. It would have cut nutrition programs by almost $40 billion over the next 10 years, half of that money to SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, formerly known as food stamps, that many seniors access. We're talking about $25 a month for groceries here that they get combined with state money. So it isn't an abundant amount of money, but it means life or death for some people. That total SNAP funding is $75 billion.
Right.
Coming from the federal government, the USDA, the Department of Agriculture, it flows through the states. So it helps and it was not, it was supposedly we will get the same amount of funding for the next fiscal year. They've had trouble passing the farm bill. It falls under the farm bill, SNAP does, for the last several years. But we'll see what happens in the next fiscal year after October, if they can remedy that situation. And the reason partly that Democrats said no to that bill was because of the cuts to SNAP. They didn't want to see seniors and others suffer more than they do every month. I want to say that it is imperative that we get your participation. We hope that you will call today or get us on Twitter or Facebook. And if you go to our website, if you have a computer, you can find out how to reach us in any of those ways. And if you're in Albuquerque, call us 277-5866 or 1-877-899-5866. We're talking about senior hunger today, and my guests in the studio are Lynn Anker Unover from the ALTSD, the
right.
acronym of the Aging and Long-Term Services Department of the state, and also with the nonprofit Roadrunner Food Bank is Jennifer Rocha, who's joining us today. And we're talking about what happens to seniors when they can't get enough to eat. I mean, it's just a multiplicity of things that happen and causes, including poverty and the rural nature of our state. 43% of clients on government programs like Social Security still need help with food. So these programs are just vital to their survival. And 41% of clients have at least one member in the home in poor health. If you have someone living with you and you want to share your experience with us, please give us a call. And if you're someone who has time on your hands, you want to volunteer and make a difference in someone's life, Roadrunner Food Bank and so many others in the state, take your time with open arms. They would love to have you help. So, Lynn, what is ALTSD doing for seniors in the long term? What's your strategic plan?
Well, our overarching goal is to help people remain in their own homes and communities as long as possible and as healthy as possible. And obviously, that leads us to having a number of programs and services. In the nutrition area, we support congregate meal sites at senior centers and other community centers around the state. There's approximately 250 senior meal sites around the state. Every tribal community has at least one site. Small rural communities have sites. And these are places where seniors can come and basically get a lunchtime hot meal. Some of the sites also provide breakfast. Some of the sites do evening meals occasionally. Then, as a companion to this congregate site, which is where people come, and we also provide transportation for those who can't get there in their local community, there's a van that will pick them up. Then, as a companion program, we have what we call our home-delivered meals program. And that's when an individual gets too frail or sick to come to the center anymore, a meal is taken to him or her in their own home. And for some of our programs, like the Navajo Nation, for example, it may take a half an hour or more to get one meal to one person. I mean, we are talking about vast distances. So
the roads aren't great either to drive.
No, they're dirt, and if it's rainy, they're mud and or snowy. Yes, it's quite a task. And you mentioned volunteers earlier. A lot of the folks who actually deliver the meals are volunteers in many of the programs, and we can always use more volunteers to do that. So this program really is a lifeline for many of our seniors. The other interesting thing I wanted to point out, too, when we talked about grandparents raising grandchildren, even if they're not actually raising their grandchildren, often grandparents are the ones caring for them, particularly in the summer when they may not be in school, parents are off at work. And particularly in the tribal communities, they've co-located many of the senior centers near their tribal Head Start programs so that both populations are able to be served with meals, which is, I think, very commendable.
Mm-hmm. There are also promotoras in New Mexico, all over in the south and also in the northern parts. And I used to produce videos. I produced one where we followed a promotora up north into Los Ojos, used to be called Parkview up there. And this promotora, Beatriz, used to go in and had a little kit. She wasn't a nurse. She wasn't a doctor, but she would go in and do basic checks on folks and talk with them.
Community health workers, promotoras, yes. and they're called CHRs on tribal lands, community health representatives. Yeah. And yes, okay. They're sort of the boots on the ground in many, many communities. And people trust them because they're a member of their own community and often have the same ethnic and cultural background.
And language. They can speak the language. Yeah. So that really is helpful. And it offers them a little bit of interaction, social interaction to the viejito or to the elderly Native American. And it's wonderful because without that, some people are shut in all day, have nothing, and then you know, those problems of depression and lack of hunger. And some physically can't get to the space or even to the kitchen to cook. We actually put together a short piece here that we're going to listen to that goes into, I was up in Española a few days ago at the farmer's market up there where seniors get some of their produce and talk to a couple who, you know, but for that service would not be able to eat as well, certainly. And some people don't get to eat at all without the SNAP program that allows them to buy fresh produce.
That's Helen, and I'm Elizabeth.
I live on the west side of Española, and Elizabeth lives on the east side.
There's some more peas here.
Mm-hmm. They didn't have McDonald's when I was a kid, or we never went out for a sandwich at a store like McDonald's or something. No, didn't have them.
You send
the life.
What's this?
Yeah, we don't
know. I like it.
I have a 14-year-old granddaughter who lives with me, and definitely food is, you know, take care of the housing cost and then the food and then gas. And sometimes you have to shift the budget to make it all work, you know. So that's, we just moved in from Chimayo.
That's your food?
No, no, era así, no. Estaba muy livianito porque luego...
No, it wasn't like today. It was easy. I was healthy and I could do a lot and cook. And now I can't even get around without my walker. I can't.
Each one, we sell this for $1.
But I don't.
It's ours.
Come on, Jeff. So just a taste of some of the folks up in the northern parts of New Mexico. There's so many rural areas up there, Peñasco, Tres Ritos, you know, all of those places don't always have easy access to food. And as you heard, you know, the budget is so key. And I'm sure that that lady, Helen, that we met is familiar with making that choice of giving her granddaughter a meal and maybe saying, oh, I'm dieting today. I ate earlier or whatever the excuse, you know, is. And they,
grandma's not that hungry.
Right, right. When they really are, but they don't have a choice. So we are here today on the Call-In Show talking about senior hunger. And I'm joined in the studio by Lynn Anker-Univer, who's with the Aging and Long-Term Services Department of the State of New Mexico, as well as with the Roadrunner Food Bank representative who works with the Senior Helpings Program and is putting together a report. Also, Jennifer Rocha, thank you both for joining me, and I hope that you'll join us too. If you're on your computer, get on Twitter or Facebook and talk to us there. Talk to us at the call-in show at callinshow@kunm.org. If you want to send an email, or if you'd like to call here in Albuquerque, 277-5866 or 1-877-899-5866. Those numbers also on our website if you have access. And we hope to hear from you in this hour. I hope that we are about to have Shirley Lopez on the line, and she is listening intently up there in northern New Mexico. Are you there, Shirley?
Yes, I am.
Shirley, we're sorry to take you away from your seniors this morning. I know that your morning ritual is to help them out. Tell us, you are a volunteer with the Rio Riba County Senior Program and the Senior Center up there and the Daycare Center. What is what is a typical day like for you?
A typical day for me is a great day. Every morning that I get up, I say, thank you, Jesus, I have a place to go. I live alone. I can't drive. I'm legally blind. But I do get in the van and head to the center every morning, and I volunteer. I help the Judy Montoya take care of the adult daycare. Around the area here in northern New Mexico, there's only one daycare, adult daycare, and that's the one in Española. We take care of 10 seniors. These seniors are from the age of 70 to 95. We give them a snack in the morning, and we give them lunch. The lunch may not be that great, but the way I see it, these seniors don't eat at home. They live alone. They're lonely. They're depressed. And while I'm at it, I would like some more information on that Roadrunner, because I don't think I've heard about it here in Española.
Do we get up to Española, the Roadrunner?
We do, actually. So Roadrunner Food Bank is...
get access to the Rio Riba County.
Yes, so Roadrunner Food Bank is the mother food bank of New Mexico. We also have PDOs who help us to reach those counties that we're not able to reach. And she would actually have to contact the Food Depot. Yeah. And you can get on our website at www.rrfb.org. And they'll be able to put you in contact with the Food Depot to help you guys out with food, you know, food and other sources for your seniors.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. I hope you have.
I am very grateful, and I thank the Lord every day. You know, we do have a place to go, and this centers, all the senior centers, they're a wonderful place. They get up in the morning, they get picked up, they go to the center, they play bingo, they dance, they pray, They do art and craft. It's a wonderful place. To tell you the truth, if I didn't have that place, I won't be here anymore.
Mm-hmm. You've had struggles in your life, you told me when I met you the other day.
Yeah.
You're a breast cancer survivor, and so...
And I live alone, mm-hmm. and we live in a budget, but we manage.
Yes.
We manage, but anything and any help that anybody can give to the daycare center or to the Rio Riba Senior Center, I gratefully appreciate it very much. What, you know, those seniors there, they do need the help.
What do you give? What do you get back? You give so much. You make cushions for them. You told me the other day.
I made pillows last week for them. Today I'm taking a batch of banana bread. But it's the way I see it. The community gives to me, so I have to give back to the community.
Well,
and I tell my family every day, you know, I have a big family. But right now I can say that the Rio Riba Senior Center, that's my family. Mm-hmm. That's my family right now. And if there's anything that I can do for them, I'll do it.
And, you know, you mentioned talking with them and spending time with them. I mean, sometimes we lose our appetite, as Lynn was saying, because we're depressed.
Yeah.
And you give them that animo, that joy, that, you know.
Get moving.
Yeah.
Get moving. Don't give up.
Yeah.
Life is very precious. It is very precious, you know. And I tell them, you know, you guys have a lot to offer. We went to the school one day during Christmas to visit with the kids. And I told the kids, you know, you need to cherish your grandparents, your parents, because they're like a pot of gold. You can get any information. You can get all the love you want from your grandparents. Don't give up on them. You know, be there for them. Listen to them.
Shirley, I want you to think about this question, and we're going to take another caller, but stay there on the line and think about telling us about one of your favorite visits, one of the favorite people that you work with.
I have a very special little old lady, and she's like 84, 85, and every day she tells me, que mi tatito Dios te guarde. And I tell her, para usted. God will take care of me and save me so I can be there for them. You know, I can tell you because, to me, all the people in the daycare, they're very, very special.
And just for the non-Spanish speakers, que te guarda tata, mi tata Dios means may God protect
you.
Yes.
May God take care of you.
Yes. And he has.
Keep you safe.
he has, you say, yes.
And I tell him, you know, I am here. The doctor told me I'm legally blind. I can see enough to make cushions. I can see enough to make banana bread. I can see enough to see them, enough to hold them and hug them and tell them how much I love them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have my parents. I don't have my grandparents. I don't have any uncles and aunts anymore. I just have my brothers and my sisters, which I love very dearly. But the seniors is where I get all my amor.
Okay. Hold on a second, would you? Don't hang up yet. I want to talk to Bill in Albuquerque, who has got a question. Hi, Bill.
Hey, good morning. Really really good to hear you. I've got a question. First off, I wanted to... I'm a senior myself, and I recently became aware of the wonderful poetry writing group that takes place at the North Valley Senior Center here in Albuquerque on 4th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's wonderful because at the same time it's providing, a social and even professional community for people, and also it's helping to preserve and share the wonderful heritage of memories and thoughts that we have, that our seniors have, myself included. And I wonder if such programs are happening in the various senior centers in Albuquerque and throughout the state, because I think they're just great.
Thank you, Bill.
Programs like that are definitely happening throughout Albuquerque and the larger metropolitan areas like Las Cruces, Santa Fe. In some of the rural areas, they offer wellness classes. They offer some arts and crafts. It really depends on the community. Obviously, Albuquerque has a lot of resources through the university and CNM to tap instructors to come in and give classes. The population is much greater. Our goal as a department is to work with our providers to enhance and build their capacity so they can offer more and more enrichment programs at their centers. But it really does vary, and you have to visit the different centers to see what's there. A lot of times it's having someone move into a community that's excited about something and wants to teach it and wants to share it, and then that class happens at that center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those centers are just lifesavers. They're funded usually by the counties and cities.
And the state,
and
us.
And the state. What portion of the money comes from the state? Do you know percentage-wise?
I would say for some programs, it's almost all of the money. There are some federal monies that come into the state and flow through us as well. Our state legislature has just been extremely, extremely generous to the senior programs, and the vast majority of them get state funding. Now, Albuquerque, for example, I happen to live in Albuquerque. Our city also contributes a lot of city funding for those senior centers.
Yeah, and I can tell you in Santa Fe, the city even extends out into the outlying areas outside of the city's boundaries. And up until about last year, I think they funded and really ran a couple of the centers in the areas between Espanola and Santa Fe. I think it was
the county centers.
But the city really stepped up and provided a lot of the help there in funding
and one of the problems has been with the economic downturn. Counties and small villages and local governments have really been affected. A lot of times they contribute in kind. Mm-hmm. They may own a building that was funded by the legislature, and then they let the senior program happen in that building for basically no cost. And that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking about senior hunger. I want to know if you know someone who is hungry. You know, there also is neglect of seniors. And sometimes, just like with children, we see that out there and we think, well, it's, you know, none of my business. I really don't want to get involved. But we actually all have an obligation, not just with children, but with seniors, to make sure that they are safe. Shirley, were you going to say something?
Yes, I was going to say the same thing, you know. There are a lot of adults out there, you know, that don't get the care that they need. Not only the care, you know, they have their kids, and the kids just don't seem to care. You know, there's this little viejita there in the little house, you know, and you know that there's a whole bunch of kids out there, but like I will also say, we live in a very messed up world. You know, the little viejita's there, but the son or the daughter, nobody cares about her. Mm-hmm. And it's very sad, but it's like you say, it is our responsibility to report that.
I'm going to give out the Adult Abuse and Neglect Hotline in New Mexico. You can reach it toll-free from anywhere, 866-654-3219. Again, 866-654-3219. We may have that on our website as well. If we don't yet, we will after the show. So please, and those are anonymous calls. You don't have to identify yourself if you suspect adult abuse or neglect. With the drug problems in some communities, as Shirley was alluding to, there are family members who feel it's okay to beat up on or take money from or jewels to sell or to pawn from their grandparents. And that's not okay. And people need to step up and speak out about that and do something so that we have a better state and a better community, and we're all taking care to watch out for each other. We're going to take a short break. It's 8:35. I hope that you'll continue to give us a call or get online or write us a note at callinshow@KUNM.org. We're also on Twitter and Facebook. Get online, you'll find out all those resources, and give us a call. I am here with Jennifer Rocha of the Roadrunner Food Bank and Lynn Anker Unover of the Aging and Long-Term Services Department. We welcome your calls as well. Tell us your experience or your concerns about the elderly. We'll be right back.
Support for KUNM comes from Pure, a member-owned insurer for high-net-worth families, offering expertise and resources to help prevent claims and resolve them without hassle when they happen. Pure. Love your insurance. More at pureinsurance.com.
Next time on Peace Talks Radio, could a change in how journalists cover war, elections, and their communities actually help reduce conflict?
So it's not that we're ignoring violence or ignoring conflict. It's about the way that we report that. So do we report it in such a way that it inflames violence, or do we report it in such a way that it does not?
We'll explore the notion of peace journalism next time on Peace Talks Radio.
Friday morning at 8 on 89.9 KUNM.
And we're on the call-in show this morning talking about senior hunger. My name is Deborah Martinez, poverty and public health reporter here at KUNM. And, you know, there are just such sad statistics in our state. One in every five seniors doesn't really know what they're going to eat or doesn't want to eat or is food insecure. And we'd like to change that paradigm if people are willing to take some steps towards that. And we're talking with people who do actually make some differences, significant differences in the community and in the state. Jennifer, I wanted to ask you what this report is about. It must take a lot of research. You're working on this aside from your regular duties. So it's something you're really compassionate about, right?
Definitely.
And passionate about.
Definitely. So every 4 years, we do what's called a hunger study, and it's nationwide, and it's sponsored by Feeding America, which is really the mothership of food banks for the entire nation, and we partner with them. And through this study, we're able to gain knowledge on the living situations that New Mexicans are dealing with, the insecurities, and just how do they get through everyday life. Back in 2002, when we did the study, we had only helped 11,000 seniors annually. In 2006, that jumped to 21,000. And in 2010, that number jumped to 30,000 seniors a year that we were helping with food insecurity. I can only imagine what this study is going to bring about. And unfortunately, the numbers are rising tremendously.
The economy the way it was, the recession, we're just starting to get out of that. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, within a few decades, one in four Americans will be 65 years old. And with pensions disappearing and, state coffers dwindling, we're faced with some real serious questions about where our meals are going to be coming from as seniors.
And they say the boomer generation has not planned well for its retirement like some of the other generations. So
yes. And I think we thought that the pension idea was still going to be alive and well. Shirley, you can relate to that up there in Espanola, huh?
Yeah. Yes. It's very difficult here in Espanola. It's not like being at the cities. Here in Espanola, it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one thing I do want to say in the radio with most of the listeners that they need to go to the senior centers. You know, there's a lot of senior centers that are being open, but they hardly have any people in them. So I encourage a lot of the seniors to come to the senior center. You know, come to the senior center and have lunch and join in, you know, with all the activities that they have, but we need more people to join the senior centers.
Yeah, that's so true. We talked about the SNAP program, which mm-hmm. used to be food stamps. About 412,000 elderly in New Mexico got food stamps, at least as of a couple of years ago. And that's, again, $25 a month, including the state portion. So it isn't a whole lot of money to most of us, but to a senior, it is a lifeline. And enrollment could be higher. It has gone up since the recession, and it's something the state doesn't really actively promote. But there is opportunity for people who haven't signed up. $310,000 was the bid budget for the state SNAP program. That is, they contributed that much in FY11, and it's gone up, as we've been saying. So, and as Shirley said, you know, not just go in, but also participate, maybe volunteer if you have some time. That intergenerational communication is so important. I'm sure ALTSD works with younger generations, right, to get people involved.
Oh, definitely. We have quite a number of younger volunteers in our programs, as well as different activities that we sponsor to bring the youth and the elders together. For example, when I talked about the Head Starts being co-located near the senior centers, they do a lot of joint programming. Shirley herself mentioned visiting children in one of the schools. They do a lot of interactive field trips and that sort of thing.
We've done it twice. We did it for Christmas and we did it for Easter.
Mm-hmm. What better way, right, to help the younger generations?
It's a joy. It's a joy, you know, to see we took the seniors to the school and they hide the eggs. And then we went to the Lucero Park Center and we built our own lunch, our own sandwiches. Mm. But then the seniors hide the eggs for the small kids. And, you know, it's a joy. It's a joy to see the seniors and the small children, the students, get together.
Sure.
It's a wonderful experience.
Well, I want to take a call from Joe all the way over in Las Vegas. Thank you so much for calling from way out there, Joe. What are you interested in talking about with us?
Thank you for taking my call. excuse me. I am one, and I know several other seniors who are pretty much homebound and not really able to prepare meals. I happen to be diabetic, and I know there are a lot of diabetics around. The meals on wheels have a lot of carbohydrates in them, and I can't have carbohydrates. I'm really kind of searching to try to find some answers. So what I'd like to do is hang up and listen, okay?
Perhaps Jennifer could give a hint as to, in Las Vegas, how can someone access?
Yes, and once again, they need to go through the Food Depot, and that will be on our website as well. And you can also, if you ever need food assistance, you can always call the hotline, which is 349-8841. And if we don't have a specific pantry or soup kitchen in your area, we will definitely direct you to the proper food bank to be able to get them that assistance.
That's great. And, you know, we have all kinds of resources on our website that you can link to. So if you go to KUNM.org, you will find all kinds of numbers there and links to information, including the Roadrunner Food Bank, which Jennifer Rocha represents, and she's here with us today.
I also wanted to say, I'm sorry, if you go to our website, www.rrfb, as in Roadrunner Food Bank, .org, there's also a Get Help Now button. And if in there, you can actually type in the zip code that you live at, and it'll populate a number of agencies around your surrounding area that can help you with food assistance.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I hope that helps Joe out there in Las Vegas. And Lynn, anything else you want to add right now as to how ALTSD is looking at the future? And you mentioned the baby boomers increasing.
Well, a couple of programs have come to mind as we've been talking. When we talked about the intergenerational programs, we sponsor three volunteer programs around the state: the Foster Grandparent Program, the Senior Companion Program, and the RSVP Program, which stands for Retired Senior Volunteers. And these really harness seniors to give back to their communities. And also, the Foster Grandparent and the Senior Companion Program are geared towards individuals with low incomes and provide subsidies for their volunteer work. So it really helps seniors with their economic security as well. And the foster grandparents work in schools and Head Start centers around the state. And the senior companions actually do similar to what Shirley does. They help other seniors in their homes or perhaps in an adult daycare center. And so those are really viable programs. Another area that we're working in is senior employment. There are an awful lot of older adults out there who still want to work. And often there's a lot of age discrimination in terms of older adults getting employment. So we have several programs. Again, we have a federally funded program, and the legislature in New Mexico has been really generous with us and has funded a state-funded program where we can actually place seniors in job training situations and positions in senior centers around the state, and those are funded through this program, and the senior then has a job, some more funding and income coming in so that he or she can purchase food and have a better quality of life. And the programs that these individuals are placed in are governmental and not for profit, and they're assisted with these extra employees in their programs. And then recently we've started something called the 50 Plus Job Connection, and we have it in Albuquerque, Santa Fe, Roswell, and Rio Rancho. And that's just to be a clearinghouse for seniors that are seeking jobs and employers that are wishing to hire seniors. And we've placed hundreds of seniors in jobs through that program in the last couple of years.
And that's anyone over 50.
Right, anyone over 50.
The AARP standard.
Right, and it's really difficult, that 50 to 65 group, because if they're unemployed, they don't get Medicare. All of a sudden, they have no health insurance. I mean, a lot of very difficult situations are faced by people in that age group in particular. And so we saw a need to kind of lower the age served in that program.
In fact, Shirley, you were telling me.
Can I ask her a question on that about the senior employment?
Uh-huh.
You know, helping the seniors? Right here in Española, we have a little problem there. If a senior goes to get one of those jobs, but she has no way of getting there, is there transportation to get them there?
Our programs can provide vouchers for buses and transportation, and often we place the seniors in senior centers, for example, or programs where the van that brings the seniors to the center will also bring the employee.
Yeah.
So I need to know which program it is in particular, and I could probably help you with that. Maybe when the show is over, Deborah can hook us up and we can talk. Okay, Shirley?
Okay. Well, right now, I was just asking for other seniors. I do get pick up. I have the blue bus. It picks me up and takes me to exercise. I go to curb at 8 o'clock, and then I walk. It's right across the street, so I walk to the center. But then the Rio Arriba Center, the van brings me home. So I was just asking for other seniors.
And you know, I think that blue bus does coordinate with people, so maybe they could, you know, help get people to work. Yeah, that's the Blue Bus is a phenomenal service. It's free. Many students use it from up north to go to the community college, to the college in Española and other parts to work, whatever. I've seen them all over. They're free, as I said, state funded and federally funded. So take advantage of those folks out there.
So that's another thing that the seniors need to be aware of, you know. I'm on demand. You know, they come and pick me up all the way to my door. But they do have the route, but being that I can't walk to where the route is, they pick me up at my door.
And Shirley, you were talking about falling in that that gap that Lynn was talking about. You were lucky, I don't want to say lucky, but you, because of your disabilities, you were able to get Social Security right earlier and other services earlier than you would have if you were a regular senior, 40, 65.
If I were a senior, I'd probably be down, a regular senior. But no, I have, like I told Deborah, there's days that I feel very blessed. The dear Lord does take care of me.
Yeah.
So I'm okay. You know, I can still cook and everything. You know, I have my place to go and my routine, and I'm okay. But know that I was asking for the transportation. I was asking for other seniors.
And Jennifer, how does Roadrunner Food Bank get people involved in this idea of volunteering and joining in?
Lovely. So there's plenty of ways, obviously, that you can help. Right now we have an unprecedented need for volunteers to be able to push out the food before it spoils or gets bad. So it's very important that we do rely on volunteers to be able to get that done, to get that food out to the hungry. So obviously you can log on to our website again at www.rrfb.org, and you can sign up to volunteer there. Obviously, a monetary donation can be given either through our website or by calling Roadrunner Food Bank. And I just wanted to stress, as we were talking earlier, you know, for every dollar, five meals can be distributed to the community. And that's because, you know, we buy in truckloads, we buy in bulk, et cetera. And, you know, you can also hold a food drive, you know, at your local church, at your school, at your community center. And that food can then, you know, be donated to Roadrunner Food Bank to be able to help the people that are in need here in our state.
You might keep in mind when you do that, though, as Joe was saying in Vegas, you know, a lot of elderly have diabetes issues. They can't take so many carbohydrates. So think about that when you're cooking. Maybe go cut back on the sugar or use sugar substitute to, and not as healthy, but still for hypoglycemic folks.
Right. And there's simple tricks. You know, unfortunately, we can't make a senior helpings box for each individual client's needs. But, you know, you can run your green beans under, you know, cold water for 5 minutes, which reduces the sodium. And, you know, there's different ways and creative ways that you can make meals that are healthy and nutritious. And, of course, with my being the community nutrition program manager, people are more than welcome to contact me. And you can find that on your website as well.
I want to know how each of you – go ahead, Lynn.
I was going to say also, if people are looking for resources in general – our department has what's known as an Aging and Disability Resource Center, and it's a toll-free call center for the entire state of New Mexico. And if you're looking for in-home care, roof repair, whatever it is that you're looking for in your community, they can help you with that. And that toll-free number is 1-800-432-2080. And I believe you've put that up on your website.
I think probably so. If we haven't, we will.
And you can access it on the state government website as well.
All right. And we have one caller. Peter is calling in from, where are you calling from, Peter?
I'm calling from Project Share in Albuquerque. We serve dinner to seniors 6 nights a week from 5 to 6 o'clock.
Terrific.
And it's a free dinner.
Terrific. Where are you located?
1515 Yale, southeast.
What's across street there?
On the cross street is Anderson. We're between Cesar Chavez and Gibson.
Uh-huh. And what are you a volunteer involved with the program?
I'm the executive director.
And what do you see as the problem? Is it getting better? Are all of these resources we've been talking about in the last hour really making a difference, do you think?
I think in Albuquerque, we're making a big difference, is that we serve dinner 6 nights a week. We never turn anybody away because we lack the resources. There are other programs in the city that serve dinner. So most of the time, if you have a hungry senior that is mobile, they should be able to get to a food site.
That's terrific.
And that's great.
Another program, if they are homebound and they have a medical need, Meals and Wheels has a free program for the medically needy.
That's right. In Meals on Wheels, we haven't mentioned, but senior centers around the state participate in Meals on Wheels programs.
There's kind of a difference. In our state, Meals on Wheels is actually a private nonprofit organization out of Albuquerque. And as Peter, I believe it is, said, if you're medically needy, they have a free program. In general, they charge a fee. It's not the cost of the meal by any means. But then our our programs funded through the state are called home-delivered meals programs, and mm-hmm. those are tied to the senior centers, and those are on a donation-only basis.
Well, I know in Santa Fe there is a Meals on Wheels program connected to the senior center, and it does make deliveries.
They may call theirs Meals on Wheels in Santa Fe. In Albuquerque, it's home-delivered meals versus the nonprofit.
Okay.
In Española, they call it Meals on Wheels.
They do.
And it's a dollar or donation.
Yeah.
If you have a dollar, you give a dollar. If you don't have it, it's donation. And they deliver to the homebound.
Great. Thanks, Shirley. And Jennifer, you wanted to add some?
Yeah, I know we're getting ready to wrap up, but I did want to go ahead and share a statistic with you. The Map the Meal Gap study just came out, and the latest study shows New Mexico is ranked as second in the nation for hunger. And if you don't mind, I'd like to share a quote from our CEO, Melody Wattenberger, that really hit home with me. So she said, "Hunger is at an all-time high right here in our state. All of us should be completely horrified at these latest figures. As a community, more support is clearly essential. Not only do we need to ensure charitable hunger programs have the tools needed to respond, but we also need to appropriately fund and protect federal hunger programs such as SNAP, WIC, and others. We can no longer ignore that so many people suffer from hunger. This should not be a silent issue anymore."
Absolutely. Thank you all for joining me. Shirley up there in Española, Shirley
Thank
Lopez.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it. I've learned a little bit.
Yeah, keep doing the good work that you do up there.
I love it.
And here in the studio, Lynn Anker, Univer of the Aging and Long-Term Services Department, offering many services. Get online at their website or get on ours and link to it, where they have so many ways of helping.
And we'll see you, ladies, at the All-American Aging Conference.
Yes, the New Mexico Conference on Aging, August 20th and 21st. Yes.
August 20th and 21st in August. Okay, so plan for that to get together, and let's all make a difference in this problem. Thank you, Jennifer Rocha of the Roadrunner Food Bank, the mother of all food banks of the state, and for all the work you do. What are you, like 15 years old? You really are committed to this cause. I want to say that KUNM's poverty and public health coverage, of which this is some, is funded by support from the Kellogg Foundation, the McCune Foundation, the Frost Foundation, and the Quinalma Health Foundation. Visit us online at KUNM.org, click under News, and you'll find all of the stories we've produced under poverty and public health there. And we are so glad that you joined us today. Thank you for the callers. Thank you for the guests. And especially our folks that run the show. The engineer is Roman Garcia. Marshall Broyles joined him. Screening calls was Andy Lyman. And our executive producer was Elaine Baumgartel. I'm Deborah Martinez. Thank you so much for joining us.